Amen. Amen. It is the first three verses of this chapter in Ephesians, which I want to think upon this morning for a few moments. And Paul says there, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here the Apostle Paul, in writing to the believers at the church at Ephesus from his Roman prison cell, he writes to exhort these believers on how they were to walk. And brethren and sisters, this morning, that's something which each and every one of us need to be exhorted upon, myself included. We need to be exhorted on how we are to walk as Christians, especially in this day and generation in which we live. Now, Paul opens this chapter, this fourth chapter of Ephesians, with these words. He says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." And here Paul is signifying by these words that he was a captive, or he was in bonds in the Roman prison cell for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner. He was in jail. Why? For being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why, believers, this morning, we ought not to think that our stand for the Lord, our desire to be faithful to the Lord, will not bring us any difficulties or tribulations or trials in this life. It will. Now, none of us may perhaps end up in prison like Paul, but there will be difficulties, there will be challenges for each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, and more so especially for the young people here. Whether in school or university or the workplace, the pressure is on you, especially to perhaps as a believer to be silent, or even to capitulate and to conform to what the pattern of this world would be. But I pray that there will be a word to encourage you this morning, especially you young people, as believers, as you seek to live for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now, Paul here in verse 1, he beseeches the believers there. And that word beseech, it signifies to call to one side, or in other words, to exhort or to instruct. And here he wants to instruct the believers in how they were to walk as a Christian in their day and generation. Now, we see here that he wants them to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In other words, he wants them to progress. He wants them to keep moving forward as believers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true, I pray, for every one of us, whether young or old, whether young in the faith or a seasoned saint here this morning. We ought to have that desire to continue to grow and mature as believers in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren and sisters, this morning, as I said, this ought to be the desire of our hearts, that we, as we sang in that hymn, to be drawn closer to our Saviour. And then when we are drawn closer to our Saviour, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. They will grow more strange and dim in the light of His glory and His grace, as the hymn writer said. Now, the word walk there, it speaks of progress. In other words, to make due use of the opportunities that we have. And each and every one of us have opportunities as believers. Perhaps those in our family circles, perhaps those in our neighborhoods, perhaps those even within our family circles or our workplaces or school or university, whatever the situation is for you this morning. The Lord has given us opportunities. The Lord has given us people whom we can reach, whom we can speak a word in season for, people whom we can bring before the Lord in prayer, and pray that the Lord would work on their lives and their hearts and that He would save them. Now, the believers here, Paul wanted them to walk worthy of the vocation. In other words, he wanted them to walk in a manner that was worthy of the calling which they have received. Now, we could think here about those specifically called to full-time Christian service. But We can think as well of those who are called to Christ and salvation. And that includes all of us as believers here. For we have all been called unto the Saviour through the gospel. We have heard of our need to be saved, and we have heeded the gospel, the Spirit enabling us by those gifts of faith and repentance to come and to turn away from sin and to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why we could think especially or particularly of what Paul mentions here in verses 11 and 12, where he says there, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But I just don't want to focus especially upon those, but I want to think of all of us here this morning as believers, because we all have a responsibility to walk worthy of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We all have a responsibility to live a life which points away from ourselves and points to the Lord himself. You think of Moses, how he came down from the mountain after he had received the law from the Lord. And what's it recorded about him in that portion of Scripture? That his face shone. Why? Because he had been in the presence of the Lord. He had to put a veil over his face because being in the presence of the Lord had that impact upon him. And as he came down and walked among the people were afraid because they could see that this man had been in the presence of Almighty God. And we as believers this morning, we are to walk worthy. We are to live a life which brings glory and honor to him. We are not to live a life of hypocrisy, a life of double standards, a life where we profess to be something on the Lord's day and every other day of the week we live totally contrary to what we make out to be. So I pray that this will be a challenge and an encouragement to each and every one of us as believers this morning. John Gill, the commentator, said of this, he says, this phrase is expressive of a fitness, a suitableness, an agreeableness of a walk and conversation to such rich grace and so high an honour conferred upon saints. You see, each and every one of us as Christians this morning, we have been called. And that word speaks of being invited or bidden to come. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I invite you, I implore you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're not a Christian this morning, I urge upon you to come to Christ. Before we go any further in our message, where you sit in your pew or as you're tuning in from wherever in the world today, wherever you're seated or listening in from, come to him today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is for us to be called, to be bidden to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are nothing but guilty, vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners, but yet made acceptable in the Beloved, yet brought into union with the blessed Son of God. And since we have been called to be Christians, we have been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith we have been called. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to think about virtues in Christian living. Virtues in Christian living. And the first thought I want to leave with you this morning is that there is humility in the walk. There is humility in the walk. Now, if you look with me, please, to Ephesians 4, verse 2. Paul says here, with all lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness. So we're thinking here of how we as believers are to walk in this day and generation. And as Paul says here, we are to walk with all lowliness and meekness. So there, that speaks to me of humility. Humility. You see, humility is not a trait which is natural or comes natural to us as human beings. You see, in our natural sinful state, we are proud. We love to boast in ourselves and on our achievements. Don't you see that today? How the natural man, the man of the world, he loves to boast in his achievements and what he thinks he can do and how much he thinks he knows. But yet as believers, we ought to be not those who are puffed up with pride and full of our own self-importance, but we ought to be those believers here, as Paul says, who walk with lowliness and meekness. That word lowliness there speaks of modesty. It speaks of lowliness of mind. In other words, having a humble opinion of yourself. Now, nobody could ever charge the Apostle Paul of being somebody who was proud and somebody who was full of his own importance. Because if you turn back with me to Ephesians 3, notice there what he says in Ephesians 3 and the verse number 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And there he was reminding the believers at Ephesus of how he was called to be a minister of the Word of God. And he refers to himself as someone who is less than the least of all saints. You see, Paul wasn't somebody who was known for his pride or for his putting himself at the forefront. You see, Paul was at the forefront because the Lord had called him to be an apostle. The Lord had called him to be a preacher of the gospel. But he had not put himself in that position. The Lord had put him in that position. And that's why, brethren and sisters, this morning we see, first of all, here humility. This is something which ought to be a trait in each and every one of our hearts. As I said, it's not something which comes natural to us, but it is a grace by the Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives to conform us more unto the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of our Savior, there was nobody as lowly as humble as him. Because if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, we see this very clearly. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And in Matthew's Gospel, it is the verse number 29. And I already read verse 8 there, or 28, and where he invites all to come to him. But he says here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, Paul, how was it Paul was somebody who was humble? Was it by being a good Jew that made him humble? Was it his instruction in at the feet of Gamaliel as a Pharisee student? No. It was by meeting the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You know it well, Acts chapter 9, where it's recorded for us how Paul encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what caused him to be humble, by seeking to follow and to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was a man who suffered much for the gospel. As I said, he wrote this epistle to the church at Ephesus from his prison cell in Rome. And that's where Paul spent most of his Christian life. He spent a vast majority of it in bonds. He spent a vast majority of it suffering for his stand for the gospel. And brethren and sisters, that would certainly keep a Christian humble. And when we even look at our own hearts and we examine ourselves and we see how fall short we come of God's glory and how unworthy we are to be saved, how unworthy we are to be Christians, certainly I am unworthy of this task this morning. There's nothing special or anything worthy in and of me for me to be here addressing you this morning. But it's only by the grace of God that I stand here today. It's only by the grace of God that any one of us this morning are saved. It's only by the grace of God that we can be humble. And what keeps us humble is a proper view of who we are and what we are, and a proper view of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. You see, we have nothing in and of ourselves to boast about. But our boast is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, writing to the church at Galatia, in Galatians 6:14, he says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You see, Paul, there again, he wasn't exalting himself. He wasn't boasting in who he was, as in his status as being the great apostle Paul. He wasn't boasting in being that person who once was a persecutor of the church, but now he was one who was preaching the word, going forth to win the lost for the Savior. But he was humble. And this is what he exhorts the believers in Ephesus to walk, that they would walk with all lowliness and meekness. Now, meekness doesn't mean weakness, but meekness speaks of gentleness, of mildness. In other words, they were to be believers who were not quick to fly off the handle, but those who were gentle, those who were not those of a quick temper. And of course, at times I know it's easy to lose the head. At times it's easy to fly off the handle and to get angry. But as believers here, we are to be meek. We are to be gentle, especially towards those who are not saved, that we would live that Christ-like example before them, showing that because we have been to Jesus, we are those who seek to be and desire to be humble, to have that humility in our walk. So that's the first thing we notice this morning, humility in the walk. But secondly, there is patience in the walk. If you look with me at verse 2 there again, he says, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And here we see there's patience in the walk as well. In the Christian life, there are many trials. There are many difficulties. There's many burdens to face. Lots of thorns along the road of life. Many waters to wade through, valleys to go through, and mountains to climb. And at times, there is that temptation for us to give up, to stop running the Christian race. Perhaps somebody in this meeting has even thought about that this past week. Perhaps you have been going through something so difficult, and nobody else perhaps in this meeting house knows about it, but you have been struggling this past week as a Christian. Perhaps the devil has been attacking you. Perhaps you've fallen into sin and you feel that you're useless and you feel that you... What's the point in going on? Well, dear brother or sister in Christ, let me encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. Keep looking to the Lord. You see, there's going to be difficult times in the Christian walk. We're not promised a bed of roses, but let me tell you, we're promised the presence. We're promised the help and the assistance of the Lord. I'm sure there was times where Paul perhaps even considered, what am I doing here? Here I am in a smelly, dark, cold prison cell, seeking to be faithful to the Lord. And this is what happens to me for being faithful. I end up in prison. People want to stone me. People want to kill me for seeking to bring to them the message of the Word of God. But yet there was many times where Paul, I'm sure, felt down and discouraged. But yet the Lord strengthened him. We're told that Demas forsook Paul, but Paul was able to continue on. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And just as there was grace for the great apostle Paul to continue on, dear child of God, there's grace for you. There's grace for me as well, to continue on in this walk with the Lord. And we are to have patience in this walk. That word long-suffering there, it speaks of perseverance. And this is what we need in this day and generation. We need to persevere. We need steadfastness, endurance, and slowness in avenging wrongs done to us. I know if somebody wrongs us, the natural thing we want to do is just to get revenge. We want to get our own back on them. But yet as believers, we ought to have that perseverance, not to reward evil for evil, but to forgive, and by the grace of God, to not hold grudges, not to have bitterness in our hearts, because if we have bitterness and we have that desire to get even in our hearts, well then that will only draw us away from the Lord. It won't draw us closer to Him. And that's why we need this patience. We need to persevere. And brethren and sisters, this morning, by the grace of God, let us remain steadfast for the cause of the gospel. This generation in which the Lord has placed us, this generation needs a faithful band of Christians to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. As you are members of this congregation here in Cumber, as you go out, those of you who will go out this afternoon to the open air, the people there need to see a people that stand. They need to see a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be those believers who seek to persevere, to be steadfast. No matter what society would say, oh yes, society wants us to be silent. Society wants to tell us what we ought to think and preach. But yet the Bible implores upon us, and God expects us of us, that we would be those believers who persevere, who remain steadfast, and even whatever trials we have to endure, that we would remain those who have that patience in our walk with the Lord. He says, Paul says here to the believers, he exhorts them to forbear one another in love. And the thought here is to sustain, to bear, or could also be translated to endure. He desired for them to be sympathetic towards others. As I said, forgiving any wrongdoings that had been committed. And to whatever pain and annoyance they would have to face, that they would endure it with self-control. That they would sympathize and assist with others who were in difficult or distressing situations. If we see another believer who's suffering or going through a difficult time, are we such a believer that would seek to encourage them, seek to help them in whatever way we could, practically or emotionally or spiritually? Well, this is what I believe Paul is getting at here by these words. That we would look out for the needs of other believers, those who are going through trials and tribulations, that we would come around about them and encourage them and even let them know that we're praying for them. Let them know that there's somebody that cares. So there is patience in this walk, and they were to conduct themselves out of love. Do we conduct ourselves in such a manner this morning as Christians? He says, forbearing one another in love. You see, this is why we do it. To have a love for the brethren. You see, that's what the Lord requires of us. Now, we're all of different personalities and different character traits, and perhaps we're not going to be best friends with everybody, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And we are to love the brethren. We are to love the family of God, because there is no family like the family of God. There's no people like God's people. And we ought to be having that love for one another, as Paul exhorted the church at Ephesus, forbearing one another in love. So there we have patience in the walk. But lastly, we have as well unity in their walk. There's unity in the walk. If you look with me at verse 3, Paul says there, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is something which is vital for today, unity. You see, the devil doesn't want unity among the people of God and the house of God. That's why he is known as the accuser of the brethren. He wants to have brother and sister or two fellow Christians against one another. And that is why, brethren and sisters, Paul was exhorting the church here to unity. And this is what we need. This is what our denomination needs. This is what the church here in Cumber needs, is unity. We as believers, we need to have that unity. We need to have that one focus in living for the Lord and seeking to reach out to the lost in this area, seeking to bring as many as we can to the Lord Jesus Christ by reaching them with the gospel, by praying for them, by encouraging them, by showing that we care. Because I believe that this past number of years, God's people have become divided. And I'm not speaking here about this particular church, but I'm talking in general, because COVID has seemed to sadly brought out the worst in some believers. And I fear that some believers have lost the vision of reaching out to the lost. They have become so entrenched in their different opinions on COVID and a host of number of other matters. And we have lost the focus. We have lost the vision of seeking to be faithful Christians, seeking to reach out to those who are still strangers to God and to His grace. And let me say, this is the desire of my heart. And I know it would be the desire of the heart of the minister in session here, that every believer, there would be that unity, that there would be unity in this congregation, unity within all of our congregations, unity in our homes and our families. Not just a spiritual unity, but a unity in seeking to go forward. You see, if there's no unity, there will be no progression. There will be no going forward in the work of God. If there's no unity, the Spirit of the Lord will not bless. Because the Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's what we need today, brethren and sisters. We need unity among the people of God. And this is what Paul was exhorting them. He says, endeavoring. That means it's going to take work. This is something which we can't just achieve overnight. But this is something which has to be worked at. This is something which has to be desired and sought after and maintained. And we all have a part to play in that. This isn't just for the minister and the session and the committee of this church. This is for all of you as believers here this morning. For you're all the body of Christ. You're all the church here is not just the meeting house. It is you, the people. And you're all equally important and you're all equally needed in this work. As prayer warriors, as those who are encouragers, as those who are living and walking worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter whether it is the preacher behind the pulpit or you who are sitting in the pew, we are all one in Christ Jesus. We have all been redeemed by the same precious blood of Christ. We have been reconciled the same way to God. We have been adopted into His family. There's no hierarchy in the family of God. We're all one in Christ Jesus. As Paul goes on to say here, he says, one body, one spirit, as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, Paul wasn't making a distinction in spiritual terms here between the believers. Yes, there was those who were called to specific roles. As I mentioned a few moments ago, evangelists, apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers. But all of us are called to walk worthy. All of us are called to walk and in such a manner that is one that brings glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this, as I said, is going to take work and to take effort. And Paul says, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, what does he mean there by those words? Well, a bond is simply something that binds together. And it was a bond of peace. In other words, for the peace to be maintained among themselves, this is what they were to aim at promoting and preserving. You see, unity is precious. And it must be maintained at all costs. It must be preserved. It must be endeavoured to be worked at. It must be endeavoured to be kept, as Paul says here. Again, if I may quote John Gill, he says, peace is what the saints are called unto in the effectual calling, and what is suitable to God, who is the God of peace, and to Christ, who is the Prince of peace, and to the Holy Spirit, whose fruit is peace, and to the gospel, which is the gospel of peace, and to the character which the saints bear, which is that of sons of peace. You see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we need among the people of God today. This is what we need in our own walks, personally, individually, as believers here this morning. And I pray that the Spirit of God would help us, enable us to keep persevering at this. When we've been thinking about these Christian virtues, these virtues in Christian living, we've thought about the humility in the walk. We've thought about the patience in the walk, and we've thought lastly there about the unity in the walk. And may God by His Spirit help us to display these virtues in our lives more and more in these days. As Paul says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake and glory.